apology for being late today. I apologize for all of you. That's my mistake. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأذريته انقضاء. وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهركم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حسين مني وأنا من حسين أحب الله من أحب حسين صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
إمام سيد الشهداء عليه السلام has certain خصائص and specific attributes which are only specific to him and are not found for any other ma'soom. And despite the fact we believe what Al-Alim al-Jaleel Sayyid Abdullah Shubbar rahmatullah alayhi have narrated that أولنا محمد وآخرنا محمد وأوسطنا محمد وكلنا محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
So the first one amongst the Ahl al-Bayt and the last one amongst them and the middle one amongst them and all of them have the same status They are part of the same Nur and have similar attributes. But having said that, there are certain specific attributes as well which are found for each of those 14 Ma'soomeen alayhim as-salam and not found for the other. And when it comes to Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi as-salam, there are 72 attributes which have been counted and we call them al-khasa'is, the specific attributes for the Imam. And tonight I would like to shed some light on six or seven of those specific attributes. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Obviously, this hadith from Rasulullah, which I recited, and that's narrated from various Islamic sources of various sects. The Prophet has said that Hussein is from me, and I'm from Hussein. May Allah love the one who loves Hussein. أحب الله من أحب حسين. So this is the dua of the Holy Prophet. So anyone who loves Imam Hussein alayhi salam is mahbub and beloved in the eyes of Allah. And this segment, the earlier segment of the hadith, that Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. Well, Hussein is from me seems to be more clearer for the reciters. But the next part, that Prophet is from Hussein, seems to be difficult for some to understand. And what it means actually is that the Risalat of Rasulullah and the entire message of the Holy Prophet becomes alive through the Imamat and Walayat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So the Risalat of Rasulullah continues to exist and survive as long as Imam Hussein continues to exist and survive. And we find that this is the first specific attribute that I would like to mention, is the fact that Imam alayhi salam, Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam, is the only ma'soom for whom we have the Ziyaratul Arba'een. Right now we are going through the same times where we are getting closer to the date of Arba'een, the 40th after his Shahadat. And obviously there is a lot of sawab. Alhamdulillah, there are so many of our mu'mineen, even from our community here and elsewhere, who have been, who have already departed to be in the presence of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all the mu'mineen and mu'minat from all the far and wide corners of the Islamic Ummah who have visited this holy shrine on this Arba'een. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the tawfiq for all of us to join this caravan and to be in the presence of Imam Hussein alayhi salam for his ziyarat as many times as we can in the future. So when it comes to the ziyarat of Arba'een, we don't see for any other ma'soom among the 14 infallibles that the ziyarat al-Arba'een has been mentioned, or it has been asked and demanded by Allah from us to do the ziyarat on the day of Arba'een. You don't find any narration whatsoever in the entire mother books of Kutubul Ad'iyah wa Ziyarat. You know, you don't find any narration anywhere. We don't see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanded from the believers to commemorate the 40th day of the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam, or Imam Hassan alayhi salam, or the Holy Prophet, or any other ma'soom. And there is no ziyarat. We have abundant ziyarat, alhamdulillah, for our ma'soomeen alayhi salam on various occasions. But we don't have any ziyarat for any ma'soom for the 40th day of his shahadat. This is something which is mukhtas and specific to Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And not just that, but actually it's part of the ala'im al-iman. Al-jahru bi bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. A mu'min is the person who always says his bismillah loud. Isn't it right? Even in the prayers which are ikhfatiyya, that we say in the whispered style of talking, like the first two rakats of Dhuhr and Asr, it is still mustahab in our Sharia to say the Bismillah Rahman Rahim loud, which is not done by some other sects of Islam, but this is a specific attribute of a mu'min. One of the ala'im, one of the signs of a mu'min is that he says the Bismillah Rahman Rahim loud. Al-jahru bis Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Likewise, al-takhattum bil-yameen. That means wearing the ring in the right hand. So wearing the ring in the right hand is the alamat of a mu'min. And especially, obviously, it's mustahab to wear in this finger, and if you're not, then in the second one. There's more sawab to do like this. So we find that likewise, reciting the qunut, One of those five signs of a mu'min is reciting the qunut. And fourth of all is doing the sajdatu shukr after the prayers. Again, this is something that is not done by so many other sects of Islam. And this is only the Islam or the followers of the Islam of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam who perform the sajdatu shukr after the prayers. There's a lot of sawab in doing that. And last of all is the ziyarat. I'm not mentioning the exact sequence, I'm discounting those. So one of those five is the ziyarat of Arba'een. This is the sign of every mu'min that he performs, the ziyarat of Arba'een. A mu'min is the person who performs it. So we are supposed to do that. We are supposed to do the ziyarat of Imam Hussain throughout the year. Isn't it right? This person who lives in Iraq, and he once visits Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and in Medina, please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And Imam alayhi salam asks him about the whether or not he goes for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And he said, well, the place where I live in Iraq is a bit far away from Karbala, so some of the times I just happen to visit, but not very often. And that's where we find the Imam emphasizes upon him to go for the ziyarat. And at the end in the narration, we find that Imam says, in other words, if you can just go on top of the roof of your house. See, if a person cannot visit Imam Hussain alayhi salam and he's far away, he can always go on the top of the roof of his own house, look towards the right and left, look towards the sky, towards the right and left, and then he points towards the haram of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn and says this much, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Even these two simple sentences in this form, how I described it, which we learn in the light of the hadith, you know, is counted to be a complete ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And these two sentences, we learn in the light of the narration that, in another narration says that these two sentences equals to one hajj and one umrah.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We can all do that. Like I said, this is something we have to do throughout our life, doing the ziyarat. Every time we remember Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we can say that much. Isn't it right? Under the sky, according to the same format as described. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, as-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this is extremely important. It's a value that we go for the ziyarat of Arba'een. And obviously, we don't have just ziyarat of Arba'een, but we have ziyarat of the day of Eid. We have a ziyarat of Imam Hussain, which is narrated about the Eid al-Ghadir. On the Eid al-Ghadir, there's a different ziyarat which is reciting. We have a ziyarat that we recite on the Yom al-Khamis, on the Thursdays. We have a ziyarat which is recited at the Haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. We have a ziyarat for the Ashura, isn't it right? We have a huge list of the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So for every occasion of our life, we need to remember Imam Hussain alayhi salam. For the entire life, because everything that we have is because of him. So we find that Ziyaratul Arba'een is the first mukhtas and specific attribute for the Imam. The second thing which is mukhtas for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam among those 72, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, inshallah, we can talk about the rest of the attributes some other time. The second mukhtas attribute is that the paradise has 8 doors, whereas the hellfire has 7. And one of the doors of paradise is named in the name of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We don't have any narration whatsoever. I haven't read any narration where the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have told us that among the 8 doors of Jannat, one of the doors is called Babur Rasul. We haven't read it anywhere. One of the doors is called in the name of, in Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam. with due respect to all the Ma'sumeen alayhi salam. But this is not what we find in any narration. But what we learn in authentic narrations, that among the 8 doors, one of the doors is named as Bab al-Husayn. And not just that, but we also learned that Bab al-Husayn Awsa. That means the widest of all the 8 doors of paradise is the door which is called Bab al-Husayn, the door of Husayn. Obviously, we understand that when the door of Imam Husayn al-Islam is the widest of all the doors of paradise, which this makes it very clear that the largest number of people that would enter is from the door of Imam Husayn al-Islam, probably, because our Urafa say that the largest number of humans guided throughout the history towards the path of Hidayat was through Imam Husayn
al-Islam.
If you find and do the statistics and you play with the numbers and you find out how many number of people throughout the history of humanity have been guided through which Hadi and guide, and you divide those guided people on those guides, and you will end up discovering the largest number of people guided throughout the history of humankind is through Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. So it makes sense that his door is the widest. And likewise the Safina, obviously the boat of Imam Husayn. Well, all the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are likened in the hadith as the Safina and the boat. Isn't it? Safina tul Najat. Didn't the Prophet say that in the Masala Ahl Bayti ka Masala Safina tin nu? The example of my Ahlul Bayt is that of the Safina and boat of Nuh alayhi salam. مَنْ رَكِبَهَا نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا غَرِقَ. Whoever gets aboard that ship got saved. وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا, and whoever turns away from that boat, غَرِقَ, got drowned. And some of the narrations have added وَهَوَى, that means got misguided. And you see what happened in the time of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and Tufan, the storm came. The whole earth and all the mass of land on the planet was drowned under the water, because the earth was giving the water out, and the heaven, the sky, you find there was a rain showering down on the whole planet from all the 6 sides. So there was no spot remaining which was not drowned in the water. There were only 2 spots. There were only 2 spots, which one was the earth of the Holy Kaaba, and the other one was the land of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, which were raised up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the water of the storm could not make them wet. So we find that at that moment, before the tufan came, and Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam have been obviously guiding the community, including his own son, who was a kafir, who was a disbeliever, who did not end up obeying the Holy Prophet. So we find, he said that, I'm going to take refuge to the mountain. I will climb up the mountain. And basically he was trying to say that the mountain can save me. So anyone we find who did not get aboard the ship was drowned. This is a living evidence for us that obviously all the Ahlul Bayt serve as a boat of salvation for us. But the Safinatul Husayn aus Asra, the boat of Imam Husayn al-Salam, is the fastest of all. If you want to get the salvation quicker than any other option, then you have to grab and take hold of the guidance of Imam Husayn al-Salam. So we find that this is something specific to Imam Husayn al-Islam, that he has one door named in his name, and he is the one who provides the guidance in the largest numbers for the humanity. And the third attribute which is specific to Imam Husayn al-Islam is that his crying over Imam Husayn is an icon of Islam. Again, we can cry on any masoom, And you will get the sawab, obviously. You can cry on any shaheed. You can cry on any of the mu'mineen as well. Isn't it right? We can cry on our loved ones, our relatives, our friends, our salihin, siddiqeen, shuhada, anbiya, awliya Allah. We can cry on any one of them. As the sunnah of Rasulullah, he used to cry. But crying of Imam Hussein is something which has a special status in the eyes of Allah. So this is narrated from Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, and the hadith is narrated by Sheikh Saduq, that when Amir al-Mumin was going towards the battle of Siffin, he passed by the place which is called Karbala. And when he reached Karbala, Imam Ali alayhi salam started to cry a lot. And Abdullah ibn Abbas was close to him, and he asked about the reason. And Imam alayhi salam said, if you knew the reason, which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my words, if you knew the reason, the Imam said once, you would also cry. And then the narration says, Imam Ali alayhi salam prayed two rakats of prayers, and then he slept. After a while, when he woke up, he said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said that I saw some men wearing white and having their swords hanging in their necks, coming down, descending down from the heaven, and they said to Ahlul Bayt, addressing the Ahlul Bayt, to do the sabr and patience. And I saw my son Hussein drowned in a stream, in a river of blood. And he is calling for help, istighatha, but nobody is coming to help. And then he addresses his own son Imam Hussein, who is accompanying him in that travel towards the Battle of Siffin as well. He addresses his own son by saying that certainly what is going to happen to you from the Ali Abi Sufyan, similar to that has happened to your dad. And when this kind of thing happens to you, do the sabr. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam replies back to his dad, I accept it. And I would do the sabrun jameel. The sabrun jameel is the Islamic form of doing the sabr in patience. Sabrun jameel is defined in Islam as that kind of tolerance and patience where you do not have any complaint against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His decisions even deep in your hearts. Some of the times we tolerate what happens to us. We don't end up saying things. Isn't that right? But in the heart we feel upset. Why is this happening to me? Isn't that right? I'm doing so much nice things. I'm doing the charity work and so. But why is this happening to me? Whereas you find when it comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in no narration, even the narrations that have been narrated by Mustashriqeen and Orientalists and Kuffar, you never find any single narration where you can see that Imam Hussein expressed any sort of anger or being upset or disagreement or complaint or objection against what Allah did towards him. Instead, what we find is nothing but rida and tasneem and submission to God. Isn't it right? To the fullest form. And not just that, he recited it, when he was carrying Hazrat Ali ibn al-Asghar alayhi salam in his hands on the day of Ashura. Didn't he recite, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, radam bi qada'ihi wa taslima li amrihi. That we are radi and pleased with the qada and divine decision, and taslima li amrihi, we are submitting, we submit to the command, to his command. Perfect submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the similar situation you find towards Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha, who owns the knowledge, al-ilmul ladunni, the knowledge directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Imam Sajjad alayhi salam had said in his hadith, that anti bihamdillahi alimatun ghayru mu'allamatin wa fahimatun ghayru mufahhama. That means, Alhamdulillah, you are a scholar not taught. That means not taught by any human being on this planet Earth. She doesn't need to be taught by anyone on this Earth because Allah provided His knowledge to her directly. وَفَهِمَةٌ غَيْرُ مُفَهَّمَةٌ And you are a person having the understanding without anyone giving you that understanding. Again, because Allah is the one who provided you that kind of understanding. So she has the ilmul ladunni, and that kind of lady, when she comes over the janaza and of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, what did she say? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا هَذَا الْقُرْبَانِ Oh, our Lord, accept from us this sacrifice. And when this caravan is taken towards Kufa, and we find Abdullah ibn Ziyad, la'anatullahi alayh, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, la'anatullahi alayh, he is sarcastic against the Ahlul Bayt, addressing to Hazrat Zainab, salamullahi alayha, كَيْفَ وَجَدْتِ سُنْعَ اللَّهِ بِأَخِيكِ How did you find what Allah did towards your brother? Taunting against Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha. This is the place where a person is already upset. Somebody who has lost his entire family. Isn't it right? The dear ones. Her own children. Her own brother. If we were there with opium sinners like me, we could have been starting some words of complaint. Isn't it right? That's where you find. See, our Urafa say, when some calamity and bala arrives upon you, let's suppose my son dies. What is my first reaction? Second reaction is not the sign of Iman. Second reaction is not the sign of Iman. When whole bunch of your relatives, Akriba, your friends show up, they do the condolences, they comfort you. Isn't it right? A lot of people are there to tell you things and advise you. And then you end up saying, Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah and shukran lillah in all the situations. That's not that much big of a deal. The first reaction that we do when the bala arrives, that's what our urfa say. This is the sign of the ma'rifat level and the daraja of the mu'min. When the bala arrives, did you first thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or you first start to complain or feel upset in your heart against Allah's decision, and then later on after people show up, you say, no, Alhamdulillah, it's okay, we are ravi with Allah has done to me. That means you still lack the bulugh, the rushdun, the spiritual growth. Some people are bodily and physically grown-ups, but when it comes to the ma'naviyat and the metaphysical teachings of Islam and the spiritual teachings of Islam, they act like non-mature persons. This is a sign of non-maturity, that we fail to understand the wisdoms, the fact that the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on the absolute wisdom of Allah. That's why there is an objection. So we find, look at the fact how Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha replies back to the taunting of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad la'anatullahi alayh. She says, Ma ra'aytu illa jameelan. I didn't see except jameel, except beautiful. That means it's the mazhar of the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mazhar of the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever has happened, this shahadatul uzma, this greatest sacrifice that Imam Hussain and his people delivered towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way they did it towards Allah, this is nothing but the beauty and the mazhar of the beauty of Allah. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Man istarja'a inda al-musibate. Didn't Rasulullah say, Man istarja'a inda al-musibate, jabara Allahu musibatahu. Wa ahsana uqbahu. Whoever says the kalimatul istirja' when the musibat arrives. Kalimatul istirja' we say to inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is the kalimatul istirja'. Certainly we belong to Allah and certainly towards Him we are returning back. So this is called kalimatul istirja' inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Whenever the bala comes we should say inna lillah. It's sawab to say that. So Prophet says, Man istarja'a inda al-musibah, whoever says this kalima at the time of musibat, jabara Allahu musibatahu, Allah compensates for his musibat. وَأَحْسَنَ أُقْبَاهُ And he makes his akhirat nice, good. وَجَعَلَ لَهُ خَلَفًا صَالِحًا يَرْضَاهُ And Allah provides a lineage for him who with whom he will be pleased. So if I have my son dying and this musibat befalls upon me and I say, the first reaction I do, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُ I am thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his qada and qadr and radi on what he did. Allah compensates for that and provides me a lineage which is with which I will be pleased. And makes my uqba nice. So this is what a mu'min does. That's how our mu'mineen, our you know, Ahlul Bayt used to operate. So we find we always bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance ahead of anything else. You know, this is a sign of this is how our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and Ansar have been leading the way. So we find that what I was telling you is that the crime over Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is iconic in Islam. It's a symbol of our religion. And you don't find that much stress has laid on crime on any other personality the way you find the emphasis laid on crime over Imam al-Hussein. And I was telling you the narration which Imam Ali narrated at the occasion of the, when he was passing by from Karbala towards Siffin. So after he advises his son by saying, do the sabr on that time, and certainly similar thing came towards you, towards your dad from Ali Abi Sufyan, similar to what will come upon you. And Imam Hussain and Salam lies back that I'll do the sabr and jameel. So Prophet Imam Ali has narrated this narration, you know, on in that story that I heard from Rasulullah saying, Man baka aw abka ala al-Hussain, Man baka ala al-Hussain aw abka wajibat lahu al-Jannah. That's the Mahmud riwayah. That whoever cries on Hussain or makes other people cry, Jannah becomes wajib upon him. This is something which is, you know, more than authentic in our Islamic teachings. Obviously, every ibadah has conditions and shara'it, and buka ala Hussain is no different. We need to have the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of the imam. Definitely we need that. Even the ziyarat that we have been talking about, and I will talk about a little bit more on that, even the ziyarat has the same condition. With ma'rifat, buka with the ma'rifat. So, we find the third attribute which is specific to Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam is Istijabatu du'a tahta qubbati. Dua is mustajab under the dome of Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam. But first of all, we need to keep in mind, this segment of the land belongs to Jannat. Let's be very clear to begin with. This is not part of the earth originally. This land, you know, which is the land, you know, in the original location for Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam's place, this original location belongs to the Jannat. And this place is located, will be placed, the hadith tells us, it will be lifted and placed in the middle of paradise. Allah is going to lift up this place of the haram and put it in the middle of the paradise. So all the dwellers of paradise will be able to see, to do the ziyarat of this haram from every corner of Jannat. Please say salawat. So Imam Ali al-Taqi al-Hadi alayhi salatu wasalam asked one of the mu'mineen to go under the dome, under the qubba of Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam and do the dua there. And this mu'min replies back to Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam that Yabna Rasulullah, in other words, I mean, you are the Imam. Why don't you just do the dua? That's it. Obviously, the dua of every Muslim is mustajab and accepted by Allah. Why will you just do the dua and that it will be done? And Imam al-Taqi alayhi salam replies, Allah has places where He loves to be asked. That means we do the dua at those places. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those to be asked at those places. He said it once. So this is why it is in Islamic, obviously the dua is not the subject of my speech, But in the concept of dua, we learned that the zaman, the time of dua, and the place where we do the dua is very significant towards the acceptance and istijabat of the concept of dua. So the dome is a place where our orofasid is no obstacle. Some of the times when we are doing the dua, we have the obstacles. And that's why I remember Ayatollah Uthman Behjat Rahmatullah Alayh used to say that the biggest obstacle between us and our du'as is nothing but our own sins. So he used to say the best du'a is istighfar. And obviously he's right. He's right, because nothing blocks our du'as from reaching the level of istijabat and acceptance except our own sins. So this du'a which is done under the dome is the du'a which has no obstacle between this and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when there is no obstacle, obviously this du'a is going to be accepted. Now the fourth specific attribute for Imam al-Husayn al-Islam, please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So the fourth specific attribute for Imam al-Husayn al-Islam is about the shifa and his turbat. And we all know the status of the turbat of Imam al-Husayn al-Islam. We give it to our kids to eat. This is the turbat which is allowed in the Sharia to eat, isn't it right? Whereas no other turbat is allowed to eat, even if you go to the haram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Even if you go to the haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, or Mashhad al-Muqaddas, haram of Imam al-Rida alayhi salam, or any other ma'soom alayhi wa sallam, you find that their turbat is very holy for us, but it's haram to eat the turbat. Eating the turbat, turbat is tahir, but it's haram to eat. Being tahir is something else, it is tahir, but consuming is haram. The only turbat in the Sharia of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, which is permitted to eat, is the turbat of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. And we find this turbat has been, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam used to have the turbat with him. So when the time of Salat used to come, he had a bag, small bag, in which he had the turbat of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn in that bag. When the time of Salat used to come, he used to open the bag, open the turbat from the bag, spread it there, and place his head over the turbat. So the whole face of the Imam becomes soily, which is the sign of tawadhu in Islam and modesty. The whole face used to become soily with the turbat of Imam al-Husayn. And the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, As-sujudu ala turbatil Husayn yakhriqul hujba sab'a. That means doing the sajda on the turbat of Husayn rips apart the seven curtains. Don't we have the seven hijabat and curtains between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All those seven curtains are ripped apart and opened if you do the sajda on the turbat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. Such a holy blood has been fallen on this turbat. When we find Prophet gave the tasbih of Hazrat Zahra to his beloved daughter, and Imam Sadiq has said that the tasbih, if there was anything better than the tasbih of Zahra, Prophet would have given that to her daughter. So we understand there's nothing better after you are done with the salat, there's nothing better to do than reciting this tasbih. So 34 times and 33 times, Alhamdulillah, and then 34 times, you know, Allahu Akbar, and 33 times, Alhamdulillah, and then we do 33 times, Subhanallah.
And some of the narrations tell us to add La ilaha illallah once at the end. That's how you would complete the entire zikr, which is the most important zikr in Islam. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu Akbar. All the four will get combined in your statement if you add one La ilaha illallah at the end of the tasbih. Before you even walk away from your salat, before you talk to anybody, before you change your sitting position. Some people I see, you know, they just start walking away after they are done with the prayers. So this tasbih, Hazrat Zahra alayhi salam had, her tasbih was made with the hair of the camel. She had the hair of the camel, and she put 33 knots on the hair of the camel. And later on, when Hazrat Hamza
Salamullahi alayh, Sayyid al-Shuhada, who was given the laqab and title of Sayyid al-Shuhada by the Holy Prophet in those days. When he becomes shaheed in Ma'rikatul Uhud, we find Hazrat Zahra Salamullahi alayha gets the turbat and soil of the grave of Hazrat Hamza alayhi salam and makes her tasbih, her sibha. You know, in Farsi we say tasbih with the turbat of Hazrat Hamza alayhi salam. So this again makes us understand the azmat of Hazrat Hamza. Didn't the Prophet say, Amma ammi Hamza fala bawakiya lahu? There's no one to cry for my uncle Hamza. That means Prophet is emphasizing. He's asking the people to cry over Hazrat Hamza alayhi salam. He's so great in his status. So we have the tasbih of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, the tasbih of Zahra salamullah alayha that we read over the turbat of Imam Husayn. But Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha used to read her tasbih given by the Prophet over the turbat of Hazrat Hamza alayhi salam. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
And the most superior drops in the eyes of Allah are two, according to the hadith of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. There is no drop which is more superior in the eyes of Allah than two drops. One is the drop which is shed, the tear which is shed in the fear of Allah. Any tear which is dropped in the fear of Allah. And the second one is the drop of the blood of the martyr and shaheed. As soon as the first drop of the blood of the martyr falls over the ground, all of his sins get forgiven. Except the loans, except the hukukun nas, illa dain, which is the hukukun nas are not forgiven. So these are two most superior drops in the eyes of Allah. And when it comes to the turbat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, we find both applies on this turbat. Because Imam Husayn alayhi salam shed his tears in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Plus, he is the Sayyid al-Shuhada and the drops of his blood also fell down on this turbat. So both are combined in this turbat. Please say salawat. And obviously, this turbat, is a shifa from every cure, a shifa of turbati. Any kind of illness that we may have, if we can eat it with our sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will definitely get the shifa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that. So we find that the sixth attribute which is specific to Imam Husayn alayhi salam that I would like to mention tonight is that the narration tells us the days that you do the ziyarat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, you let's suppose you are visiting the haram of Imam Husayn alayhi salam in Karbala, those of the durations of the time that you are spending from your life, those durations of the time that you are spending in the ziyarat and visitation of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam are definitely, they are not counted to be part of your age. Again, this is the specific attribute of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So we find, and then our urufa say, the perspective of the urufa is always different from the regular perspective, isn't it right? We all read the same ayat of Quran and we all read the same ahadith. There is no new ayat coming any further and there is no new hadith coming any further except if it comes from Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. But we find the perspective of understanding of urufa is always different than the rest. So our urufa say that actually we should count our age to be only those durations which we did, which we spent on the ziyarat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. That is our real age. Not the rest of the time in the age. The real age of the life of a mu'min is actually those of the durations that you spent in the service of Imam Husayn alayhi salam in his ziyarat. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
And we find that the nasl, the seventh attribute, and probably the last, I'm coming to the end of my speech, the seventh attribute which is specific to Imam Hussain alayhi salam is that the nasl al-a'imma, the lineage of our nine, rest of the nine Imams, continues from Abi Abdullah al-Hussain alayhi salam. And Muhaddis Qumi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that after the birth of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he used to suck the thumb of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So his flesh and blood and got was grown and strengthened because of sucking the thumb of Risalat and of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Muhaddis Qumi says, this is one of the reasons, ihtimal, and why the Naslul A'imma is from his lineage. And it's narrated from the narration from Salman al-Farisi, where he says, I saw Prophet was having Imam al-Hussein in his lap. All these narrations with the greatest contents are narrated from the greatest companions. That's the way it always works like this. So Salman al-Farisi says, I saw the Prophet having Imam Hussein in his lap, and Prophet was saying, Anta Sayyid Abu Sada, addressing to Imam Hussein, who is a baby. Yeah. You are the leader, father of the leaders. Anta al-Imam Abu al-A'imma, you are the Imam and the father of the Imams. Tis'atun min sulbika, the nine are from your lineage. Tasi'uhum qa'imhum, the ninth one is the qa'im amongst them. That means the one who is going to uprise. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam is the one who is privileged to have nine imams. He is the father of nine commanders-in-chief of the universe, which come from his lineage. He is the father of nine imams. This is a specific attribute of him. And this is not found for other imams, you know, like Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam or other ones from their lineage. So we find that this is specific. And Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam, the gatherings that we hold, you know, like I already discussed in the beginning, that this, the love of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is iconic. The crying over Imam Hussain alayhi salam is iconic. I remember one of the teachers was saying that Ayatullah Sheikh Hassan Najafi Sahib al-Jawahir was participating in a Majlis al-Aza of Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam. And this khatib who was reading the Majlis was one of the very sincere and pious people. Some of the people are really pious and sincere. Isn't it right? So, not every ibadat that we do is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only those of the worships are accepted which are performed with ikhlas and sincerity. One of the khutbah was saying that I recited majalis of Imam Hussain throughout my life. But when I died, one of his friends saw him in the dream and asked him, how's your situation in the barzakh? He said, well, throughout the life I was reading the Majalis al-Aza for Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam. But all of my worships got rejected, my prayers got rejected, my fastings got rejected. In other words, nothing was accepted. My Majalis that I recited for Imam Hussain were rejected as well. Except Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam came and said to me, oh, you have one accepted Majlis al-Aza with me. In other words. And that one was, once I was passing by in the bazaar, in from the marketplace, and there was a very poor lady who saw me. He was a famous khatib and orator. A poor lady, a miskin, poor lady. She saw him, and he's a famous person, and she requested me to please come to my little house and read a Majlis al-Aza for in my house. And, and I accepted that
sincerely.
I went to her house and I saw that there is nobody in her house. She's an extremely poor person. She washes the dishes.
of the people in the neighborhood and make some money. And there were just few ladies sitting in that gathering, and that's it. There was nobody there. Not a huge crowd or anything of that kind. And I recited the mantras with sincerity. And when I was leaving, she gave me some little amount of money. And I rejected. I don't need the money. Alhamdulillah, I have it. But she insisted upon me. I have been collecting this money throughout in the year. I do the dishes and I collect the money for the sake of holding one mantras and aza annually in my house. I collect this money with a lot of hardship. And this is already given in my niyat for the sake of Imam Hussain. And I'm not going to take it back from you. You have to take it. And for the sake of, so that he doesn't break the heart of that lady, he accepted that money. So that majlis al-aza that he recited in the house of that poor lady, Imam Hussain comes in the barzakh and says to him, that one majlis al-aza is accepted with me. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So what they buy from us is our ikhlas.
Sahib, what I was telling you, the Sahib al-Jawahir was participating in a majlis al-aza of some
a great person who was reading the madlis, and he witnessed. Sahib al-Jawahir is one of the greatest fuqaha in our history,
who wrote the biggest book of our Islamic jurisprudence,
Jawahir al-Kalam, in 56 volumes, the biggest encyclopedia of Islamic jurisprudence. So he participated in this madlis al-aza of this the great person who was reading this with a lot of ikhlas and sincerity. And Sahib al-Jawahir witnessed that even the doors, the walls, everything, the ceiling, everyone, everything of the building was also crying along with that person when he was reading the musibat in Sahib. Some people are like this, they read it with that kind of ikhlas that even the doors, the ceilings, the walls also cry. Crying of Imam Sahib al-Jawahir said to him that I am ready to give the sawab of 56 volumes of Jawahir al-Kalam, this book that he wrote throughout his life. I am ready to give you the sawab of my entire book, 56 volumes, if you can donate the sawab of this one majlis al-aza that you recited for Imam Hussain. What they buy is ikhlas. Isn't it right? Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, La yaqillu amalun ma'a taqwa. No action is less with taqwa. Wa kayfa yaqillu ma yutaqabbal. And how can it be less? How can what is accepted be less? When it is accepted, it obviously is not less. So Imam Hussain alayhi salam accepts what is with ikhlas. And crying on him is a value that we need to transfer to our generations. And our children should feel proud over that. Imam Hussain himself cried so much. He said, Ana qatilul abara. I am the qatil of the tear. La yazkuruni mu'minun illa istaghfara. No mu'min will remember me except that his eyes will end up having tears.
Okay, this is another sign of a mu'min.
That when the name of Imam Hussain comes, our eyes have tears. The sign of a mu'min. Imam Hussain himself cried a lot. Isn't it right? So, but there are some occasions our scholars have mentioned in their books on the Maqatil. There are some of the occasions where Abi Abdullah Hussain cried with a loud voice. And that one of those occasions where he cried with a loud voice in the maktab, tonight I would not like to mention one of those occasions. And that is the occasion, one of those occasions is that he cried, upon Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, when he's sending his son. We find when Ali Akbar is sent towards the maktab, Imam Hussain says, Allahumma shahad ala ha'ula al-qawm. Oh my Lord, be a witness on this people, on these people. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْطِقًا بِرَسُولِكَ.
That young man is going towards them, who is the most resembling person among the people in terms of his appearance, in terms of his akhlaq and morality, in terms of his creation and his akhlaq and morality, and in terms of his talk. Whenever we were keen and eager to do the ziyarat of your Prophet, we used to look at him. So Imam Hussain used to do the ziyarat of Rasulullah by looking at Ali Akbar, because Ali Akbar is so much similar to Rasulullah. And my teacher was saying, Ayatullah Jawadi Abdi Hafidhahullah, was saying that this hadith of the Prophet of Imam Hussain is a dalil that Ali Akbar was ma'soom, because somebody who is the most resembling to Rasulullah can never do a sin. So this is the azmat of Abdi Ali Akbar. And Imam Hussain took sabqat and lead over even his Ahlul Bayt, over every matter of Islam. And Ayatullah Shah Jafar Shustari used to say that Imam Hussain did every single mustahab, even every mustahab of Islam on the day of Ashura. He did not leave any mustahab. So Imam Hussain is taking sabqat over the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, because he's sending his own son first towards the Maqtal. Ali al-Akbar is sent ahead of the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, according to some narrations. And we find the Amama of Rasulullah is placed over the head of Ali Akbar. And Ali Akbar is departing Imam al-Hussain. Some of the narrations say Imam has instructed Ali Akbar to keep on turning his head and looking toward his father. Imam Hussain wants to continue seeing his son Ali Akbar. And one of the times the narration says, when Ali Akbar departed, he still heard a voice coming from behind the back. As he turns around to see, his elderly father is walking behind him. Obviously, Imam Hussain just bid farewell to his son. But how can Ali Akbar understand the sorrow and the pain of Imam Hussain? No one can understand the sorrow and the pain, because no one has a son like Ali Akbar other than Imam Hussain. So Ali Akbar went, and Imam Hussain also cursed Umar ibn Sa'd by saying, قَطَعَ اللَّهُ رَحِمَكَ كَمَا قَطَعْتَ رَحِمِي. May Allah cut your lineage the way you cut my lineage. And after a while, Ali Akbar returns back from the Maqtal towards his Baba and wants, Hal ila shabbatin min al ma'is sabil. Is there a way I can get some water? Ali Akbar was so thirsty, he demands some water from his dad. But how can Imam al-Hussain give water? There is no water available here. We find Imam al-Hussain, when he shows his tongue to Ali Akbar, he replies that your tongue is even more dry than my tongue. And Imam Hussain consoles him, comforts him by saying, soon Rasulullah is going to provide you the drink from the Kausar fountain. And Ali Akbar goes back again. We find that when Ali Akbar was departing, the narration says he said something into the ear of Imam Hussain. Fabaka buka an aliyan. Imam Hussain cried with a loud voice. And that's where his sister inquired from her brother. And Imam Hussain replies back that it's the tradition, in other words, that the father does his wasiyat and will towards the son. But today the son is doing the wasiyat and will towards the father. We can't understand the pain of Imam al-Hussain. Ali Akbar departs, he goes away towards the Maqtal. He did his battle, and when he falls down on the ground in Karbala, we find he's the only person among the Shuhada on Ashura that Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, she takes herself ahead of Imam al-Hussain and makes herself reach Ali Akbar ahead of Imam al-Hussain alayhi salam. He's the only person for whom Hazrat Zainab did that. She didn't do it for her own children, Aun and Muhammad. She didn't do it for anyone else other than Ali Akbar. Maybe because he knew how much Imam Hussain loves his son, how much Hazrat Zainab is comforting her brother. And then when Imam Hussain reaches there and reaches Ali Akbar,
We find Ali Akbar. Earlier Imam Hussain was comforting his son, but now Imam Ali Akbar is comforting his father, because he says to his dad, Hada jaddi Rasulullah yuqra'uka salam. This is my grandfather Rasulullah saying salam to you. And Prophet was saying to Ali Akbar, you know, to say it to Imam Hussain, in other words, Ajjilil quduma ilayna, come quickly towards us. Now Ali Akbar is comforting his dad. Obviously he received the drink from Rasulullah. And then there was a part of the spear that was broken and got stuck into the chest of Ali Akbar. And now you find the father, Imam Hussein, is preparing to take out that broken spear from the chest of Ali Akbar. Now I would like to address Hazrat Ibrahim. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, you are certainly very great, but when you went to slaughter your son Ismail, you were blindfolded. You could not see your son. Be fine. Please come here and see. When Imam Hussein is taking out this broken spear from the chest of his son, he is not blindfolded. Then Imam Hussein takes it out. The soul of Ali Akbar departs. The riwayat had said, فَوَضَعَ خَدَّهُ عَلَى خَدِّهِ. Imam Hussein put his cheek over the cheek of Ali Akbar and says, عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَكَ الْعَفَى.
اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين تسيم الولي الفقير قاعد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. يا حسين
يا حسين.